Okay, so let's start.
Hey, it's NBK, and you're here listening to The Central Ring.
Hey, this is Ali.
Hey, this is Conflict from North.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Jordan Osigo with Cloud 9, and you're listening to TCR. Yeah.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. What episode is it?
68.
68. One more, boys.
One more. Calling it quits.
We are there. Episode 68 of TCR coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, July 26, 2017, of our Lord and Savior. The time, 8:03 p.m. Central Daylight or non-daylight. No one really knows. Standard time. We have a wonderful show for you today. In fact, it might be the best one yet. We have some pretty big news coming from the ESL side of Counter-Strike anyways. And that's the unbanning of iBuyPower. So we'll see what's going on with them. We have our favorite game show, Clutch or Kick, where we decide if the news is worthy to be clutch or kicked. Get it?
Got it.
And we'll start the show with some PGL Krakow major recap discussion. We won't go full-blown because it's been a while, but before we do that, let's say hello to the crew. Anuj is here with me wearing your iBuyPower t-shirt.
Representing today.
Going full-blown fanboy.
It's been a big week.
In fact, I'm wearing my Cloud 9 shirt.
You are.
We are full. We're so esports.
But now there's like a new number one NA, so you're wearing like...
We're so esports, though.
Brett, what do you got on?
Don't let anyone tell you that.
And I'm not wearing pants.
There
and
you go.
That's our other co-host here.
And of course you have Brett here. He is the other man who doesn't record at my house because he's too good for a drive.
That's right.
And then of course you have me. I'm Tim. You can find the show at The Center Ring on Twitter. Join the discussion on our Discord and all that fun stuff. But let's get into the PGL Krakow Major. Like I said, I don't want to get too far into the nitty-gritty. In esports, like, that was just on Sunday and today is Wednesday, and yet in esports, that's an eternity, right? Like, so many things happen. So I just kind of want to break down our thoughts, our opinions on it. I know it wasn't everyone's favorite. We kind of said that in, like, our mid-major recap episode that the Swiss system kind of failed.
Yeah, I mean, definitely could have been better with the matchups, especially towards the end in the playoffs. But, yeah, I would say it was a little bit of a... There's two sides of the fence. I feel like a lot of people feel like it was a letdown or it was one of the more memorable ones because of the teams that did end up making it to the end.
I think it's kind of
the nature of upsets, right? Like...
It's the beauty of the Swiss system, right?
But like there really wasn't an opportunity to have that many because a lot of the good teams just knocked each other out, essentially.
Right. I mean, just focusing on the playoffs, because that's what we didn't get to talk to or talk about in the last episode. I mean, it was North, Big, SK, and Fnatic did not get into the top four. And the only reason Fnatic wasn't in the top four is because their side of the bracket was so stacked. I mean... They started the playoffs against Astralis, which those were kind of the number one and two.
Fnatic or
teams.
SK you're talking about? You said Fnatic.
Oh, did I say Fnatic? Yeah. I'm sorry. SK.
Yep.
SK and Astralis were playing each other in the quarterfinals, which is a shame because, you know, I didn't get a chance to do my stickers. I forgot. So.
Killer. It's done
it
right there.
It wouldn't have mattered.
And it's a shame. No, because, you know, I think I would have put Gambit and Immortals in the playoffs. Aww. I mean,
it was an easy pick, honestly.
It was really looking at those brackets. I saw those upsets coming, and it's just a shame that I didn't get a chance to do my stickers. I don't know. It was a weird feeling the whole weekend for me. It never felt like a major. Like, I had so much. Maybe it was my fault. Maybe I had too much hype going in, but it's a major. I don't think it's. You know, it's fair to have too much hype, but it didn't feel like that major. It didn't have that oomph. Like, there is, I know, I get, like, after the major, everyone always says, this is the best team in Counter-Strike. Can you confidently say Gambit is the best team in Counter-Strike?
No, but they did jump, like, 10 spots on HLTV's rankings. They went up to, I believe, number 4 now, which is a crazy jump. But it didn't, because in the playoffs, we were missing some of the biggest names. You were missing your G2s. You were missing your Navis. You were missing a NA representation. So that was also kind of a killer to not have any NA make a legend status again this year. So I think that's what hurt the playoff side of it, is we just were missing like 3 or 4 really. I mean, FaZe. FaZe is not even one that we mentioned that didn't even make it. You know, they were the 0-3 team of all. So,
yeah, no.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a letdown with the teams that advanced. But, man, I loved PGL's production on stage. I mean, it looked so nice.
I loved the stage setup. Normally, you don't see the facing face-to-face.
It was great.
On stage.
It caused so much fun drama.
You see that for whatever reason. Dota and MOBA, I don't know why, but they just seem to gravitate towards that. Or even PGL, I should say, tends to gravitate towards that stage setup. I loved it. Apart from the technical issues, which that's just a thing of esports.
Yeah, you know, that's everybody issue, it almost feels like.
You know, take it as an injury timeout in a regular sport or something. It's just, it's part of it. It's just whatever. There's no point in bitching about tech issues. As far as, though, the level of play, I mean, did it live up to you, Brett, as far as what you were hoping for in the major? I mean, obviously, you didn't have, as Anuj pointed out, the big teams. But I know you were really hyped in the grand final still.
Yeah, I know. I messaged you about the final, and I actually enjoyed it, especially the third map. There was a lot of drama, especially at the end. I believe it was up like 14-10 or 15-10. And if Immortals could have got that one round, you know, they would have broke, you know, the economy, and you know, it would have been closer to like maybe like a 15-13 or something like that. So there was drama leading up to the end. I enjoyed watching it. I think it was a good match. It wasn't sloppy, in my opinion. I enjoyed it. I kind of like the underdog. You know, like in baseball when the Marlins win a World Series or something like that. I like seeing the underdog kind of come up and, you know, against all odds and win, so.
I like to say going into the major, and in fact, I'm pretty sure in our preview show that we did on The Ticket, I probably said, if you go back, I probably said I love the Swiss format because it gives the underdogs and the Cinderella teams a chance to progress.
Just
I think
not
we
that
all
many.
Said that, though.
Yeah. Exactly.
There's just too many.
I guess I'm okay with it until it happens.
Oh, well, I want the big dogs and underdogs in there, right? Like, I don't want to be two big dogs and like 6 underdogs playing in the playoffs, and on top of that, the 2 best ones played in the first round, like you said.
Right, maybe not have both underdogs make it to the finals.
Yeah.
You know, I like seeing the underdogs get to the quarterfinals, and you pat them on the head. And
like
you're
the NCAA tournament,
yeah,
the Cinderella story that takes
you
down
Cinderella
there.
Get the Cinderella story and say, hey, good job, you
but
made it here.
Then you have the best teams and the best runner strike.
Now can you let Astralis and SK
tell,
get
right?
there?
But,
like,
well, this is true.
And you know, maybe this is the start of Immortals. They were the young up-and-coming team, you know, maybe we see them in more playoff scenarios and final scenarios. Maybe this is just the beginning of something, you know, good for them. So, I don't know.
Yeah, breaking news, KMG is now officially their permanent 5th. He's
Go
no
figure.
Longer on trial. So, yeah. That's cool. But, you know, there were some really exciting moments, memorable moments from this major. You had Zeus on train versus Astralis when they were up 13-12. He went back into spawn to kill a minute and a half and had that speech that rallied his team and made them finish through in that map. You had Hobbit on Inferno when it was 11-8. It was the 3v1, and he was on the T side. He took that round from them, which it looked like a comeback was coming from Immortals at that point. And then the Doja double nade when it was 9-1. I mean, again, that was
awesome.
Very memorable play. It's on the header, I think, of Reddit with him and the Michael Jordan pose.
It was
on a round they lost, but still, I mean, taking 2 weapons away from him.
And to give people an idea, if you don't know what we're talking about with the Doja play, is on Inferno, on A site, you can basically sit in the very back corner of pit. And as long as you have, like, what, 70 health?
70, 80
health,
yeah.
You have to have a considerable amount of health left, but the explosion of the bomb will not kill you. And you can stack 2 people up there, and 2 people will live. And you still have full control of the site. So terrorists will do that to defend the site. Well, as the time was running out, clearly Gambit was going to lose. Doja basically threw a Hail Mary
Kobe.
of a frag into the corner, knocked them both down to 50% health. End of story, and they both lose their guns.
Only way they could have been better is if you got the kills versus the bomb and getting the kills.
And even there, you saw, I believe it was Henny. It was one of the twins. Laughing. They were laughing. Yeah. You know, I mean, and that's what I love to see there, is that even in the grand finals, for albeit you probably knew you lost at that moment, your back was against the wall, they were still laughing, realizing, like, damn, did that just happen? Like, yeah. That's not supposed to happen.
No, it was a fun matchup. There was a couple. There were still fun matchups. It just wasn't, I think, who we all wanted to see at the end.
No, I thought the crowd was great. The Polish crowd really turned up.
Man, behind VP, that was awesome.
I wish Virtus Pro stayed in it just for the sake of the crowd. I did get some pleasure out of seeing them be brought down to earth against Immortals, because I never thought I was going to be this way against VP, but I've slowly turned into a VP hater just with their attitude about their poor performance, saying that, hey, don't worry about it. It's online. It's a small tournament. We don't care.
I caught myself definitely rooting for them, but had they been in the finals against Gambit, I still would have voted for Zeus, because I really wanted to see Zeus get one, and I would have been on his bandwagon to follow him home. But yeah, I mean, the fans were behind him. They at least bought themselves another 10-year extension on that team, you would feel, getting at least to the semis.
Oh, no, this definitely lasted. You'll see, this one tournament will carry them probably to the life of their contract.
Yeah, at least.
Because this, if anything, is going to prove to them, like,
we can do it when we want to do it.
This roster is going to be legendary status next major.
Yeah.
So all you have to do is keep getting legendary status, and you're good.
You'll at least keep three out of the five, and they'll
you
keep all five.
You won't have to worry about it.
Pasha looked like a top three opera in the world in this tournament. I mean, it was incredible. And on the other end, Snax looked like one of their worst players and couldn't come up with clutches. And so it was bizarre for them, but it was a fun run. North, on the other hand, I think this would have been their easiest route to get themselves to a final. I mean, you couldn't have asked for a better setup.
Yeah.
Now they've made a roster change, or at least reported roster change.
You just have to beat, all you had to do was beat VP, and that was, you would assume that you would have made it. But then again, I guess people were probably saying the same thing about VP. Just beat North,
but
and you
made
it.
Like, North has been a top five team for the last, you know, 4 or 5 months at this point, and for them to kind of just not show up and go out 2-0, that's pretty rough. But now Magic has looked like he's being benched for Valde from Heroic, so.
Wow.
A little bit of a move for them.
So we'll see.
I mean, a lot of people would have said that Magic's would have been their best, you know, that was their best player, right? A lot of people would have said that a few months ago.
Yeah, yeah.
I think so.
Started experimenting with that Sig too much, turned into a silver.
Any thoughts and predictions on where the next major will be?
I'm hoping we get it in the U.S. I mean,
yeah, that would be nice.
I hope it goes to a coastal city.
We have very loose information from sources that
I love it,
that there might be a U.S. major coming in. I don't know how that's going to work, because our sources said that ESL was going for an American major, but we'll get to this later on in the show after Clutch or Kick. ESL basically gave Valve the middle finger by unbanning iBuyPower now. So I don't know how that's going to favor in their manner of getting a major. And in fact, you know, we know this for a fact, that all these organizations or tournament organizers get together at the current major and pitch their idea. Maybe Valve didn't give it to ESL, and ESL was like, F it, unban them.
Here we go.
Like,
yeah,
we need to get something going.
ESL, working within, you know, obviously being owned by the same company as DreamHack, and then you have ESEA, they own like the tournaments. They own everything almost. They own 75%.
But you know, they want it still under ESL. They want it under their name.
Yeah. They do, but at the end of the day, they're almost becoming bigger than the game in this sense, as far as how much they're hosting and they have invested themselves.
So, I'm with you. I think if it is going to come to America,
let's go back to Cali.
I think it's going to go on the West Coast.
Yeah.
I think that's it's kind of the uncharted territory when it comes to big tournaments.
It's kind of where everyone's living, though, too. You have a lot of the big teams. You have SK out
there.
Cloud9 is out there. Yeah. You have just a lot of big teams out there.
I think Liquid, is that where their house is?
I know a lot of them are out there.
I think Liquid's in California.
Our boy Launders, friend of the show.
He's a Toronto
listener.
Now. 99% sure he moved back to Toronto.
He hasn't texted me yet, so I don't.
You guys
confirm.
Don't stay. You want to text him and let us know?
Man.
So I don't know. I think it would be, I mean, obviously I would love for it to be in the States. Maybe we could go if they announce it soon enough. The question is it even going to be this year. They've kind of gone with this whole 2 a year bit. The annoying thing is Valve, you never know.
And then E-League's coming up too, so who knows where if they want to like.
It's just mess with that. You're basically now asking, is the time available?
Yeah.
And given the fact that teams are now more, the majority of the teams are taking the month of August off.
Yep.
That's taking away a huge chunk of it. In short, I don't know all the teams that are doing it, but the majority of the teams looked at their calendars, realized, hey, there's nothing in March. Let's not schedule anything for March.
August.
Or August.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why I said March. And they're just taking the month of August off.
It's pretty much every tier one team. And you can see they're all traveling and stuff right now, and you're seeing all these posts and whatnot on it.
They're finally taking a vacation to take them off.
Which is important. They need an off season.
Well, yeah. Don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining. I know when we first saw it.
For us, probably
give
too.
Give them a chance. Jeez.
I know when we first saw it, I was like, I guess we gotta come up with something to talk about. Right. But then, iBuyPower got unbanned, and boom,
here we go.
There's like 3 weeks worth of content
at least.
Because you know that's not gonna just go away after 1 week. That's gonna get juicy. As far as final thoughts on the major before we move to Collector Kick, Anuj. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
You know, I'll go with the thumbs up. Again, I was so happy for Zeus to win. We got good matches. We got memorable moments. We didn't see the teams we wanted to, but overall, good. I mean, you can't blame them for the whole crouch jumping thing. That's not their fault. Technical issues, like we said, are also part of it.
Yeah, that's just a thing.
But I love the crowd. I love the environment. I love the stage setup. So I'll give it a thumbs up.
Brett?
I'm going to give it a thumb sideways. There was a lot of good, but you know, it's hard to get by the computers, right? Like that whole S show with, you know, like Taco from SK just saying, you know, this is a major, quote unquote, why are we playing with, you know, these
tier two computers.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, from a presentation standpoint, I was rooting for PGL to do well this major because, I mean, it's so easy on the eyes that it looks really, really good. So I'm a thumb sideways.
I will give PGL a thumbs up because I can't blame them for the lack of interesting play. I can't blame PGL for the Swiss system kind of backfiring.
Yeah, they're not picking the matchup.
I really do think, though... And I was for the Swiss system beforehand. I enjoyed it at Cologne. I am now against it. I'm now against the Swiss system. Maybe there could be a hybrid where you do have some type of seeding.
Best
involved.
Of threes and seedings would help this system. Like to have them drawn out and not be as random. I think that would help. And then, like you said, a seeding system would do wonders for it, where when you go into the playoffs, it keeps that initial seeding and works off of that.
Yeah,
right. You should always have one and two on opposite sides.
We hate it, right? Until in groups, SK, Astralis, and FaZe all get put in the same group, and it's like we hate the group system.
Well,
now.
But even then, though, you don't say. I wouldn't say I hate
FIFA, right?
Right, because that's you get excited with that because then all of a sudden you label it as the group of death, and it's okay. Now we have a group that is going to be highly competitive, and you're going to have. You know, the Giants duking it out and one isn't going to make it. So with the group of death, you have some storyline and excitement. Here, you saw the playoff bracket and the way that was set up, and it took the wind out of everyone's sails when you saw how the top of the bracket was so heavily...
You knew your winner was coming out of there the second they showed it. You knew it.
They can tweak it. Like
there can be tweaks.
Keep the Swiss system, but tweak it to where, you know, Astralis and SK aren't playing each other.
Either format just needs a seeding, whether it's group of the group stage or group system or the Swiss format.
Gotta be a way to separate the legends from the contenders.
Well, yeah, and you just put in groups. If it's four groups, 1, 2, 3, and 4 ranked are all separate groups. They all have a chance to advance and make it better for the viewers.
I agree. I 100% agree. Let's get into some Clutch or Kick, why don't we? It's been a while since we have actually done one of our segments, our staple segments, if you will. Clutch or Kick is sponsored by your butt. Clutch or Kick, if you're unfamiliar with it, it's our favorite game show where we basically go over topics that are above e-news worthy but below segment worthy. You have different opinions and everything like that. So, and we decide if it's clutch, if it clutches the round, then you should pay attention to it. If it kicks, forget it. It's not important news. I want to start here with clutch or kick, though, with a topic that we have actually been putting off for weeks now. And I do partially apologize to the Overwatch League fans that we constantly say we're going to talk about it and we never do because Counter-Strike takes over. But we'll squeeze it in here to clutch or kick. I'm going to overall your current opinion on the Overwatch League. Just where it's at right now, okay? Before I ask you, Anuj, because I know you originally would say kick. You haven't been a fan with how they've handled
it. I saw the update. Are you talking about the updates?
Yes. I want to quickly go over the updates and get your opinion on it now. So originally, you know, they announced the original seven cities having franchises, okay? Then they announced that the fact that Blizzard is making basically a scouting report for all these teams of all the top players, not just pros, but even in the game, basically giving it to the franchises saying, here's our information. This is what we have. And then they came out, I believe it was earlier today, the Overwatch League player agreement, that basically if you are going to play in this league, whether you are a team or a player, you have to sign this. Almost like a players union. Just like that. Something that's been impossible for CSGO to even wrap their brain around. How is this possible to do a players union with so many franchises and so many players? It's impossible. Just like that, Blizzard was like, hey, why don't we just do it and make them sign it? And this players agreement, teams will sign players to one-year contracts minimum, and then they may extend them after that additional year. The minimum salary for players is $50,000 per year. Not bad. Teams will provide players health insurance and retirement savings plan. That is amazing. And then teams will distribute at least 50% of the bonuses, like the winnings for tournaments and
prize
leagues,
pools.
The prize pools, to the players. And you got to keep in mind, the winners for the season one is $1 million. So that right there, you're going to have an additional $500,000 divvied up between the teams there.
Also,
and then it goes
say,
into more about team housing and practice facilities.
Didn't it also say that the league will kick off this year?
It could have. I was just on the players agreement. I was just going off of there. So, does any of that change your opinion on the Overwatch League?
I need them to start.
I get starting, but the argument before was always they're not giving any information, and clearly they've been working on it.
I mean, okay, so for this being a, you know, newsworthy, definitely a clutch, okay? Like, they gave out a lot of information today, information that I feel like still should have been out months ago, in my opinion. I don't feel like esports is waiting for you. You know, you need to be progressive with it and move quickly, or you're going to fall out of the loop. But what they gave today, I thought was really good news. They showed the agreements. They showed the plan. I'm with Brett. I feel like it should have been more teams. I understand you want to start small, but this game is big. You know, play to your size. But yeah, I think the information for today is definitely clutch worthy, because there was a lot of good information. We know a lot more. We're so much more, you know, in tune with what they're planning and what they're doing.
What about you, Brett?
If you would have came to me a couple of months ago, it would have been a kick. But maybe there's just more going on in the background. I still don't like that, the lack of information for the fans. But I can appreciate what they're doing for the league. They're setting a foundation, you know, for it to be sustainable. They're, you know, putting a lot of good ideas out there that hopefully our favorite esports will follow along to kind of help out the ecosystem, for, you know, what they were talking about. So I'm a clutch now. I still don't like Anusha said, I wish there were more teams, but I can appreciate the foundation. I like where they're going with this.
And I agree. I think it's 100% a clutch for me, because to me, I'm okay with taking time, because it is Overwatch. I understand the scene is kind of dwindling from what we, you know, we say saying the Overwatch scene is dwindling is like saying WoW is hurting because it's losing
subscriptions. But the pro scene is. We're not like the game as a whole right. is not hurting.
But you have, I think what people need to learn is that the Overwatch pro scene is not the Counter-Strike pro scene. There is a league that's going to have teams not being included because that's what it is, right? I'm sure there are a lot of rich people that would love to own an NFL franchise that can't do it. But that doesn't mean that it's dwindling. It's just they're finally deciding to bow out because, I mean, look at their requirements. $50,000 salary for these players a year. That's a six-man team that you're allowed to have up to 12 people on your roster.
And then, yeah, and who knows if that's really counting backups or not. You know, doesn't really mention that kind of detail. Also, is the second-year option a player option, or is it a team option? That's kind of important, because if it's a team option...
I assume that's how the contract's written. You know, yeah, I assume
like,
as a...
Those are important also, because 2 years in esports is an eternity. I mean, right. Like, if you're going to potentially be locked in for 2 years, your whole team could change around you.
If you want to give me a $50,000 a year contract, I'll sign 2 years. As I'm,
yeah, and 50 is not that much. I mean,
as like, a professional gamer,
if
though...
These guys are... You know, if they're
with bonuses,
not going to school, they're dropping out of school and making this a career move for them. Like $50,000 is like
their living expenses. A lot of their living expenses probably handled in team homes if that's where they're set up.
I would if they're doing that. Right. Yeah. If they're doing all of that and all of that's taken care of, you know, then there's a full comp package. You're really looking at 70-80K, right, with benefits and all that. But and that's the minimum starting. Right. A lot of these players will ask for more.
Right. I'm just saying as a whole, this is very clutch for me. And I understand that it's different that pro teams are dropping out, but that's the collateral damage of wanting a professional league.
And keep in mind, this is a minimum, right? It's 50,000 minimum. Your players, you know, your Seagulls and your high profile players, they're gonna get paid more than 50,000.
Yeah, you're gonna have like stars making what a star would demand.
And it would be awesome. Maybe in the future salary cap, we will be able to have real discussions.
Do we know how it's going to work?
It's happening, boys. It's happening.
If you're like on a team right now, but your team is not one of the seven.
It's fair game.
So everybody's a free agent right now or what?
Yes. Everyone. Me and you are free agents, they said.
So, but technically anybody that was even signed to Liquid or Cloud9 mm-hmm. is now fully available.
Are you one of the 75,000, Tim?
It's set in there. Anyone who plays Overwatch is a free agent.
No, but you know what I'm saying. Like, so does Cloud9 now just lose all of their players without any?
The way I understood the wording of Blizzard's rule is, it is solely based off of like your contract. Blizzard is not going to get involved to where if the Boston team wants to sign you, but you're playing for Cloud9, that is completely between player and Cloud9. That's how I read it.
Okay.
Blizzard is not going to stop it because they're basically only honoring their team's agreement.
I'm still, like I said, I think the news today was clutch-worthy, but as a whole, I'm still very...
On the fence.
On the other side of the fence, really? Though, not on the greener side right now. So I still would like to see how it pans out and what the long-term future is now at this point.
Overall, I would say still clutch for me. So we got clutch for me, clutch for Brett, and
clutch for this news today.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now, this is one that was kind of interesting. I guess this is the whole point of this segment. So let me get into this. The other day, for the life of me, I don't understand why pros do not understand the concept of like instant message systems on computers and how a stream works and everything like this. It happens way too often where a pro is talking to another pro, secret information gets flashed on the screen, and people see it. They're not dumb.
And
right?
Who knows if it's intentional by Miniker, just to get attention. Now he's all over the boards.
Or it could be intentional on the other end. So in short, Automatic was talking to Miniker, and on Miniker's stream, and their Steam chat popped up, and for 2 seconds. You wouldn't think anything of it if all of a sudden you didn't realize it was Automatic he was talking to, and the fact that like he immediately went silent the second he realized, like, oops, everyone just saw that.
Up.
Right. So that obviously raised some red flags. People went and saw the video, pulled it. In short, it's a conversation between Miniker and Automatic saying, yo, what are you guys doing with your contracts? Like, what is the deal with the new org? Inferring that Cloud9 as a team is looking for a new organization to play for. And that's really what it stopped at. I'm, you know, Automatic said, hey, we have a month off. We're talking with them. We want long-term contracts. Nothing about money. Miniker mentioned $25,000 a month.
Yeah, that was just him.
That was just him throwing it out there. Yeah. That wasn't anything there. And people are freaking out now, thinking like, oh man, is Cloud9 going to leave? What's going on here? To me, it's a big fat old kick. I don't think this is Reddit worthy, but by no means, this is a contract negotiation, people. This happens all the time. The only difference is this one appeared on a Twitch stream on a chat. This was going to happen regardless if it made it on Twitch or not.
I'm punting this. I mean, not even kicking it. This is like a full-on punt, like get it out of here. Cloud9 is the biggest NA organization. If anybody has the money to pay these guys the contracts that they're looking for, or even think about signing a long-term contract, it has to be top-tier level players, which they have on that team. It only lines up with one another. They're not going to Optic. You're not going to see anything happen there. It's not like Liquid's dropping their team and all of a sudden picking it up. Who's left? NRG is going to come in and pick them all up? Like, I don't think so. So I'm kicking too.
Brett, what about you?
It's a big kick for me too. I mean, to me, the outrage, it's just teenagers not knowing how the real world works, right? Like, this happens. There's negotiations.
Yeah. You know, I hate to break it to you, but this probably happens on a yearly basis with all your favorite athletes.
Yeah,
this happens all the time. So, and it's just,
yeah, it's
in real life, in normal jobs, it happens.
Yeah, negotiate. It happens. Calm down.
This is what happens when you
just qualify. If Automatic said we're looking for a new org, okay, there we go. We got something now.
But the fact that they're still talking with Cloud9, it's like,
no big deal.
This is just part of it, people.
Yep.
And one thing here then, last thing for Clutch or Kick. ESL and Blue Hole.
Not Blue, because he's no longer there.
Nope, not Blue.
Aww.
Announced that they are going to have a $350,000 PUBG Invitational Tournament at GamesCon in August.
Damn.
Pretty big prize pool there for PUBG.
For an Invitational,
too. For me, in short, I mainly put this on Clutch or Kick in the sense of, the question is, are you clutching or kicking the survival games as being a competitive esport? Right, not so much competitive. Obviously, they're competitive, but will they be a success in the esports scene?
I mean, I'm gonna go kick.
Really?
I don't think that.
See, I thought from you this would definitely be clutch.
I don't think these are the ones. I think when a AAA studio all of a sudden drops like 20 mil to make one of these games, and you have it done properly, we're already seeing chinks in the armor. I mean, it's still, the game is still not ready to be in a
big time
a league setting. There's so many errors. How many times do we get disconnected and just issues and just random bugs, you know? So
you're driving down a road and your car goes flying.
Survival games long term, I think this has a place in there. I don't necessarily think it's this game, but I think this game will thrive and do well. It's the best one out there right now, right? So not to say that it won't be successful. I think this tournament will be fun to watch. They had a charity stream, which did really well. Mm-hmm. So people will play this game, but I don't think it's like something where you'll see this as a CS, a Halo, something that's going to have longevity in here. I think there'll be another game that comes out a year from. There's got to be a AAA studio working on one of these somewhere, right? Like at this point, you've seen so much success from DayZ, even though it tanked eventually.
H1 was supposed to be the big one by Sony, and they ended up selling it off.
But they're all getting a little bit better each time, right? You had DayZ, then we all moved to H1, now we all came to PU. All it's going to take is a AAA studio to launch one of these bad boys and make it full on.
What's going to take is them releasing the game and it being done.
Yeah.
There doesn't need to be a ramp up period. I don't know, Brett, what do you feel?
It's a kick for me. I'm kicking early access games being a competitive esport.
Yeah,
like there's still kinks that like Anusha said, there's still kinks that they're trying to work out, like, you know, spectating, vaulting, just, you know, the gun's not really aiming properly, which you experienced today, Tim.
Did I ever. We still won though.
Yeah, and and it's the randomness too. I don't like the randomness. We just killed, you know, the Swiss system for Counter-Strike for just being too random with the selections. It's the same end game for PUBG. You don't know where the circle's going to end. There's just too much randomness that happens in the game that decides a match. And
yeah, look at the crouch jump.
I just don't see that.
If the crouch jump was the only issue, where look at how big that is in Counter-Strike, how big of an issue that was. Imagine watching PUBG and seeing all the kinks that we run across in a random game, whether that's
and we probably don't even know half of them.
I mean, the car flipping. I mean, just random stuff. You would flip out as a viewer, as a fan.
I guess with that argument, yes, it is a kick. I don't. Before going into this, though, I kind of wanted to say clutch. Because
I feel where you're coming from.
Because I was definitely not. I was on the same side as you guys when they originally, like, the H1Z1 tournament. They're boring and they suck. And then I was going to feel the same way about PUBG as far as a spectator. But then that charity one with all the top streamers, I really enjoyed that. Now, maybe it's because they had top streamers, so you already had built-in fan bases.
It'll be the same thing here, though. It's all invitational. You think it's going to be all pros from different games or streamers?
I can't. I don't know. I want to say clutch for the long term of it. I think this tournament will be a success. I think ESL is definitely...
This tournament will be fine.
I think ESL is taking a risk, being that they are going to be the first ones, because when... I mean, like, there are so many bugs. Are they just going to learn to deal with it?
It's going to be... Yeah, I mean, will they be on LAN? I don't even know how that works.
You're going to have to... This will kind of be the measuring stick, right? This will be where they start. You mark the water line, and then you continue from there.
Yeah. This one will be fine. It's going to be all big-name people. Chances are they bring in people from other games, streamers. It's going to be entertaining to watch. The longevity of this in this game is the question. Like, do they fix everything?
I read the article on it, they said it was going to be offline.
Yeah.
Like, the finals of it was going to be offline. Because the way they're doing the format, I really enjoy it. So the way the format is for this is that you basically have a team, and there's going to be squad matches, solo matches, duo, FPS matches, and everything there. And depending on where you finish in those, you're going to earn points. And then at the end of the tournament, whichever team has the most points wins.
Oh.
And I really like that because it helps eliminate that RNG of, well... Of course he won the tournament. He found a sniper rifle first off.
Or the circle landed on
him. Or the circle was in his favor. You're playing like 4 or 5 matches to earn points. And
all different game modes and stuff
different
like that.
Game modes. It's going to favor different people and different teams. It's going to favor... I mean, imagine if you win the first 3. You might be like, yo, let's just chill. We don't have to go YOLO on this one. You can hang out and earn those points and stay alive.
Again, I'm not kicking this tournament. I think this one will be fine. I just...
Just overall...
Yeah, overall a little hesitant to jump right in.
I'm going to say clutch, but we got kick from you guys. Interesting. Not the way I thought that one was going to go, for being honest. But that's okay, because one thing that we do need to be honest about here, and we're probably going to go a little over on the show, but that's okay.
This is a big one.
It's a big one, and it deserves attention. And that is the fact that ESL is unbanning the iBuyPower boys from competing in their events. We need to stress that. ESL is allowing iBuyPower, and when I say iBuyPower, the players, right? Swag, Dazed, AZK, and Steel.
And Skadoo. Oh.
Well, sorry. Never mind.
So they're also partnered with ESEA. So that unbans them from IEM Oakland, New York, Katowice, Cologne, Pro League Finals twice a year. There's a lot of tournaments that these guys are now eligible to play in. And it was more than just them being unbanned. I mean, it was FXO was unbanned, Uzi was unbanned. So there's a number of players that now came off of this ban list that are eligible to play.
I would love to hear. I know we were kind of talking about it before the show. This is a huge step forward in the sense of the American CSGO scene, right? This is going to blow the doors open. It's going to end a lot of speculation, right? This whole time, everyone always said, man, if only the boys were back, right? If only I By Power could play again, NA would be top because that's the direction they were going. This is going to, finally, we're going to see how that works out. I'm curious to see. I want to hear more opinions from people and actual opinions, not just regurgitating news. It's hard for me to believe that everybody in the professional scene is okay with them coming back. And all you hear, though, is that mouth service of, it's good to see them back, they deserve it, they were kids, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, they match fixed. And in the eyes of a competitor, that could, I mean, like, for example, what, was it Vega? The team where they recruited, they signed someone who got busted for hacking, and then the other two guys left the team?
I know what you're talking about. I remember what
it
team
was like
it was,
some low-tier CIS team, I think, that was in Counter-Strike, and they left, right? Because they were like, no, we're not playing with this dude. He's been VAC banned before.
Yeah, that wasn't even too long ago.
No.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine that everyone in the scene is cool with this.
I feel like majority are, though. I mean, and the reason I say that is the duration of the ban. We're not talking like these guys were banned for 6 months and all of a sudden they're not even unbanned.
So you feel like punishment has been dealt?
They're still being punished. They can't even play in majors. Well, that's a big punishment.
So they can't play in majors.
Valve-sponsored event.
No Valve-sponsored event. But that being said, DreamHack and E-League have came out and said, no, we're upholding the ban.
Wait, DreamHack came out and said this?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. DreamHack and ESL are...
Yeah. Nope. DreamHack and E-League both have said, no, we're not touching this.
E-League doesn't surprise me because E-League is getting the major again. I mean, they're going to get another major. They're so heavily invested, it would shock me if Valve was like, yeah, thanks for being on TV, thanks for making this mainstream, but no, we're not going to get... like
not
no,
this.
So
they're
E-League and too. Them are...
Right.
Yeah, relatively speaking, E-League is still new on the scene. They don't need to step on anyone's toes.
They're just... They won't do it. DreamHack surprises me. ECS, I see following suit, but again, they don't have too many tournaments, so it's
just
not...
the league.
But they could do the league play, which I think is important, because that gives them visibility, and you know, them staying visible in the scene is what's unbanned them, really, right?
And I think, when you say visibility, that's a perfect segue into why I think ESL did it. I think ESL looked at it and thought, what can we do to give our league and our tournaments the edge? And that is being the first ones to, you know, stick it to the man and be like, no, we're done. It's been, what, 2 years, 3 years since this ban? Let the guys play. It's over. And now it's, will the dominoes fall or will it backfire on them is what I'm interested to see.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to work out well for ESL. I think you're going to see...
In the public eye. Oh, in... Don't get,
are you talking about Valve?
Yes, more interested in backfiring with Valve.
With Valve?
The public eye, of course, because I think very few and far between do people care.
With Valve, it is going to ruffle some feathers. I don't think ESL cares that much because they own about 50% of the scene right now as far as tournaments go, as far as big tournaments go. You really look at the tournaments they host, and again, we mentioned some of them, all the IEMs, all the Katowice's, Cologne's. I mean, all these are just massive, massive tournaments, and if they're not majors, they're still the most viewed in terms of high-profile tournaments throughout the year. These guys did this in 2014, you know, August 20th, 2014. Here we are, almost 3 years later, a month short hair, and it is about time they're getting an opportunity. I mean, some of these guys were really like, what? How old was Swag when this happened? 17, 16?
I think so.
Like,
he still looks like he's 14.
Yeah, it looks like he's like so young. So for these guys, it's going to be great. You've already seen AZK drop out or say he's basically not playing with Overwatch.
Did he officially?
Yeah, they've all confirmed it.
I know, like, all of a sudden he's been playing Counter-Strike again.
Yeah, they've all confirmed. Well, AZK hasn't confirmed it, but Swag and Dazed have both confirmed that the core three are going to be AZK, Dazed, and Swag.
So they are going to play.
Those three are 100%
playing together. They're not going to split. They've already started
pugging together, and they mentioned they're about to start tryouts. So they're going to start scrimming over this month.
But with who?
All right, so go ahead, Brett.
All right. No, well, I mean, they kind of have to, right? Because, you know, they still can't play in majors, like you said, and, you know, Valve-sponsored events. So they're almost the core almost had to stay together because they're in it together. They can't play in major, so they need people that are going to be okay with that, just to kind of get them in the scene. And maybe Valve in time, you know, time heals all wounds. Maybe Valve is kind of taking a step back. Let's see how this plays out. You know, let's see what the crowd reaction is. Let's see what the community reaction is to the, you know, seeing these players play on stream.
See, that's
and,
where
and then make a decision from there.
That's where, right? I think you're wrong. I don't think Valve gives a rip
Zero.
About them. I don't
Zero.
Think Valve has thought about them since they banned them.
Unless everybody unbans, I think that would be the only time that Valve would maybe at least re-acknowledge either that, no, screw you, you're banned for life still, or we're now reviewing.
Like I said, this was the last thing I thought I was going to ever read, was the fact that anyone unbanned them. And I know ESL has been talking to players and everything like that. It's been in the works. I know that, but I just never thought it was going to happen. I still stand by, I don't think Valve will ever unban them.
It would be, it's still a long shot, but they don't need Valve at this point. If
no,
they can get the others,
they don't.
They're more than fine.
Look, they are playing on a professional level again.
Well, even to something Brett said, I'm actually on the other side of the fence here. I think they can get good talent. See, I think that's where people are wrong. I don't think they're only going to find banned players.
I thought,
well, I didn't say that, you know, they weren't going to find good talent, right? But, you know, they just have to find people that are okay with. And honestly, I mean, majors are going to have to step up their game anyways for it to even matter, more to your point, right?
Right, because there's all these other, I mean, look at ESL One Cologne.
That was majors, $1 million a year. Right now, you look at all the other tournaments, if they're able to eventually play in all of them, there's a lot more money out there than just those two majors. You don't get $1 million for the winning team. You get like $500K for the winning team. There's plenty of 250.
E-League threw up 250 for a winner alone.
Yeah, so, I mean, for them, they'll find the talent. They've already mentioned a bunch of names that they're interested in.
I thought for sure Hiko was going to go. And then he signed for Rogue.
Hiko has to have the worst luck ever.
I was like, oh man, this is what's going to happen. You're going to get the boys back, then Hiko's going to join, and then they're going to get one more, and then all of a sudden it was like,
so they've already said they don't
want
to, they're not going to play with Steel. So Steel is not going to be on the team with them.
No one is going
to
play with Steel.
Well, yeah, but Steel is a personality to me in that sense. I think a lot of this is just like stream personality, personally. I mean, can you be that much of a D-bag in real life? Maybe. Who knows?
Probably.
But I think a lot of it's personality. They said they're not going to do it. Both of them said they're not going to do it. They're targeting Breezy from NRG. They're targeting Nathan, vice versa, whatever, from CLG. FXYO has reached out to them about being a potential fifth. They're getting interest. I mean, even DaZe was brash enough to mention, hey, I think we can go after somebody like NAF or Rush. Like, I think we have a legitimate chance at convincing them. Probably not those two, because Optic is such a big org, but let's be real.
They've invested so much into their players.
Is Optic, even at this point, going to make another major right now? Like, is this team really major worthy? I don't think so. I think they're the third or fourth best NA team. So
do you see, going forward then, do you see it those three recruiting too, or do you see a team, maybe NRG goes up to them and says, yo, here, we got,
he said,
we're kicking three people out, we want you three in here. Who, like, if NRG goes up to them and say, which ones do you want? We'll kick
them
off.
They might not even say they want any of them and kick them all off, and I think NRG would do it.
Start fresh,
yeah,
take,
I mean,
those three.
Take those three, let them pick their two.
I mean, you want to talk about instantly becoming a fan favorite.
Oh my gosh,
and
NRG jerseys everywhere.
And when you're NRG, you're on that line of, yes, you are a top tier NA team, but you're nowhere near top tier.
They're really not even
world team.
I mean, whatever. Yeah,
no,
I know what you mean.
But you get what I'm saying.
But they said five orgs have contacted them, and one of them I think has been confirmed to be Tempo Storm. So they're getting big org names, even if it's just Tempo Storm, which I doubt they're the biggest of the five.
But here's the thing with Tempo Storm that makes this very interesting, and why I think Tempo Storm can go hard in the paint for the iBuyPower crew, is Tempo Storm just dropped their Overwatch team. So there's room in the organization for a new team.
Yeah.
They have the room to pick them up.
I just think there's a, you know, even a team like, I'm not saying Misfits would do it, but like Echo Fox, any of these guys that have nowhere to go, why not? Like, you're going to have the three most popular NA players on your team instantly just because of where they come from.
If you're not a major bound team like Cloud9 or Liquid, I would say Optic still. To this point,
sure, throw him in there,
I bet you Hector, the owner of Optic, is still confident that, first off, Hector is not the owner that will ever count himself out of a major, so count Optic out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think they would do
Optic
it because
is
of
not
their...
an organization that is going to voluntarily commit major suicide.
But I don't see them making... I'm not saying they would do it. I'm on your same page as you. But I don't see them making a major anyway.
I don't
They're not going to find a fifth good enough to carry that team.
I don't either, but it's a team... That's an organization that thinks very highly of them.
I mean, yeah.
Hell, Hector recently tweeted out calling out Halo.
They're too big to kind of try and make that dive. Maybe an Academy team. You see a C9 Academy team or a Liquid Academy team.
I mean, their owner basically tweeted out calling Halo to do something about their pro scene or they're backing out. That's how ballsy they are.
What I'm saying is any one of these top three teams can afford an Academy team. You're not going to have to pay these guys, you know, $20,000 a month. You could get them cheap and say, we'll give you all the winnings of all the tournaments you attend. You keep the winnings. I mean, I think there's a lot of interest from a lot of organizations. Swag was a streamer for C9.
And at the same time, I think it is the lowest risk accusation a team could make. You're picking up these three guys that are easily fan favorites, like I've said before.
They're not going to cheat again.
They're not definitely not going to cheat or do anything again there. And what I mean, what are their expectations, right? Yeah, they were supposed to be the best, not only American team, but people saying the best team ever, right? Okay, that was 2-3 years ago.
I mean, they beat Fnatic at a high point. They beat NiP when NiP was like...
But do people have that expectation?
No.
Exactly.
No, but I think they have that expectations for themselves.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
I mean, you heard Dave say it. You've heard Swag say it different times that they really think in 6 months, we could be a top five, top 10 team. You know, they have that kind of faith in themselves. And I mean, I think I do too. What do y'all think?
I think...
Top 10. Let's just say top 10 in 6 months.
In the world?
Yeah.
I think... I would welcome it, but I don't think it's gonna happen because we saw this with Fnatic, right? Like CS has kind of changed, in the way that organizations practice, the behind the scenes things that happen, like with Astralis, and it's like a full on organization, and there's more strategy involved. I just think it'll take more time, right, than like a half year for them.
So here, this is why I think they're going to be really inflated when they first start off, because they're going to get in a team that's lower tier and they're going to play against those lower tier teams, right?
They'll get all the invites though.
Yes.
So they're going to get every invite for ESL. They'll be in all of those tournaments.
But I like all those slow qualifying tournaments and stuff. Like they could be in ESL Pro League
ESL,
next year.
ESL, as it said, if they're going to be in Pro League, they'll probably start them off in Premier or something.
Well, that's what I'm saying though. Yeah. But even that's what I'm saying though. Like that Premier League, I think they are going to destroy.
Oh, yeah.
Those lower tier leagues. I just
they destroy
naturally,
like their rank S system over here. These guys are top players in it. I mean, you look at the top 10 teams. Are they better than VP? Probably not right away. But it wouldn't surprise me if they overtook them. A team like North, Cloud9, Immortals as well as they were playing, Na'Vi, none of these teams are like blowing you out of the water. So if these guys got two good, I mean, it's going to be up to who the other two are, right? But, I mean, they got...
I think right now I'm looking past the excitement level, and I just have to see who those other two are going
to
be.
I think everybody does. You have to wait and see who the other two are. And... who knows how good AZK is at this point. It's not like he's been playing daily. So.
Or any of them. They haven't... I mean, how much have all of them been playing? I know they play... Like, Swag, he plays all the time still.
Yeah.
But...
He would be the superstar. That would be the focal point of the team.
And he's even played at a higher level recently because he filled
in Summit
for...
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I guess the only time we'll be able to tell. I think it's going to be a quick transition, though. I think they did it at the perfect time where they do have a month off. A lot of these teams do. So I think by the end of August, you're going to see this fully established operational.
Skadoodle and Stewie, or Automatic and Stewie, join up with them and just go number one in the world without playing
in any...
Stewie
won't do it.
No,
I think he's way too... On a serious note, I think he's too young to throw away his major.
I don't think anyone would be throwing away anything because all of these games, you're not committed for life with them. You're not signing five-year contracts.
Right. But I think people want to go to a major.
Yeah, they do. Stewie and them do. I don't see them doing it. But I think if you see some top-tier players go, I wouldn't beat them up for the move. I think it could be a fantastic move. It's a way to get your own brand out there because it's gonna be fun to watch. We're talking about this 3 years after it happened. I mean, it shows how big of a life this has taken on itself.
For if you're not in the CSGO scene, right? If you're not, if you're a listener and you aren't really familiar with what happened, it was a huge deal when this happened. I mean, they were lifetime banned from Valve and still are from Valve, but ESL is just kind of allowing, loosening the leash a little bit. So this is huge.
Yeah.
Huge news. Speaking of huge news, here's E! News, which is not huge news. It's like little stuff here. In CSGO E! News.
Music. Where's our fun music
at? We don't have music for E! News yet. I could probably find some music if you. Well,
I thought it'd just be a nice touch.
We could just add some jazz if you'd like.
Yeah, just something in the background.
We're at the home studio. I don't have all my toys yet. Realistically, I could, but who has time for all that when you're too busy dominating
PUBG?
In CSGO, ESL, sad news from ESL. Laid off our buddy Blue.
Yeah, that's
Did they not hear our interview?
Why not Pansy? No, I'm just kidding. yeah, it's unfortunate. It sucks for him. I hope he lands on his feet. He lost his boy Days, and then he lost ESL.
He lost his girl, and she took the dog.
That's yeah, hopefully he lands on his feet, though. We like him. We're a fan of him. We enjoy his work, so hopefully he lands up somewhere.
And then in other CSGO news, E-League revealed their group for E-League CSGO Season 3. They're going with the four groups, four teams. Each one already has three invited, and then the fourth team in each group is going to qualify.
Which we're participating in the qualifiers.
That's true. It's an open sign-up.
Yep.
So, I'm assuming our invitation got lost in the mail, so now we have to go through qualifiers.
This is why NAF and Rush could both potentially leave if you look at their group.
Oh, man.
They might as well call it a day.
So many tournaments.
So,
even Cloud9 really
group,
got shafted.
Let's get to it, though, here real quick. I don't want to break down all the groups. We'll do that a different episode. Yeah. But Group D,
right.
You have Optic Gaming, Astralis, and SK. Already, that's going to be the group of death. Group C, this is the juiciest group of them all, though. Virtus Pro, NiP, and Cloud9. Every single match in that group is going to be a must-watch for me. Group B, Team North, Mouse Sports, Fnatic. Group A, FaZe, Na'Vi, and G2. And again, each one of those groups are going to have a qualified
team. Na'Vi could potentially have a new lineup here in a couple of days, so that could be a really interesting group a few months from now.
So we will break down that when it comes closer to. In Dota 2 news, TBS is to televise, which is E-League again, sticking with E-League. They're everywhere nowadays. A Road to the International, a Dota 2 Championships. It's a four-part series starting in August to August 25th. It's basically a four-part series of following a team around or at least going to the TI. The interesting thing about this, though, is the TI is from August 7th to the 12th. So, you know, the TI is going to be done before this special is done.
This series is done. You think it would be like the lead-up to it and like stop right before the tournament
starts?
Yeah,
kind of like how HBO does Hard Knocks.
Yeah,
but who knows? I guess maybe they're going to do post-tournament.
Probably watch them like lift and stuff. They're probably working out.
Right. That's exactly what they're going to be doing. In other esports news, Gfinity acquires Sivo, the esports events and technology provider, for $2.7 million. It's kind of cheap.
Sivo's
more weight.
Sivo's kind of died off, though. Nobody is in the Sivo League anymore. This could be an opportunity for Gfinity to flip it and make something a little bit more.
I believe
that's
what E-League uses is Sivo.
E-League uses Sivo?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sivo announced, I think, on their Twitter, right as E-League announced Season 3, that they're going to be
the... league was dying off, so they needed something, so hopefully...
provider.
Right. Yeah.
I just thought 2.7 was a bit... felt like we could have put some money together
put a little bit up
to get that. And then in other sad esports news, Turtle Beach is now the official sponsor or partner for Eclipse Club, one of the top Counter-Strike teams in China. So, if anyone was worried that the Chinese scene in CSGO was going to overtake anyone anytime soon, don't worry, because they're all using Turtle Beach headsets.
Game on,
oh,
boys.
God. Biggest piece of trash.
I think they're all using PS4 controllers now, too.
They are awful. So, I don't know.
Hey, you know what? Good for them, though. It's a sponsorship.
It's a partnership. Yeah. I'm just saying, my history with Turtle Beach is not
and the fact
good.
That it's with the Chinese corporation, I think that's the bigger news there.
Yeah, the fact that... Is Turtle Beach American? Is that a silly question?
Sure, why not? Turtle Beach is somewhere located in Florida, I believe, off Destin somewhere.
I don't think that's correct. I think that is fake news, sir. So good for them. I guess they got a sponsorship. It's just something we don't, so I guess I can't make fun of too much. But that is going to do it here for episode 68 of The Center Ring. TCR, some of us call us. Please follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. Our website, tcr.gg. Maybe have a new logo next week, boys. We'll see what's up. We got to update everything. If you primarily listen to us on YouTube, I will update those episodes. I apologize. I just don't like YouTube.
But Turtle Beach, if you were calling, we were kidding. We appreciate y'all.
Right, we will take your sponsorship.
I'll wear your gear,
I'll wear
I promise.
Your headphones, even if it feels like razor blades are cutting my ears off while listening to it. But all jokes aside, that is it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Let us know at The Center Ring on Twitter. Join our Discord. If the link doesn't work, I don't know why. Just message me. I'll get you a new link. They typically expire, even though I tell them not to. Until then, we will be back next week for episode 69, bro. 69, bro.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, yeah. All right, ladies.
How old are we again?
We're coming.
That's right. All right, guys. Thank you again for listening. We'll be back next week. For Anuj, for Brett, this is Tim. Take it easy.